At this time, I'll call the meeting of City Council to order, October 26, 2015. We do have some guidelines, as you know probably well now, that we try to hold our talks, if you will, to 5 minutes. Council has asked and agreed that's what we ought to do if we can do that. And of course, there are times when it's very appropriate to talk longer, when we have special presentations or when council wants to talk to the speakers. So that's fine. No problem with that. If you do want to speak, and you can speak on any of the issues on the agenda, come to the podium, please, and give us your name and address, and that would suffice. At this time, we will have our invocation and pledge of allegiance to our flag.
Almighty Heavenly Father, as we join together today as citizens of Aiken and as friends, I hope that we acknowledge that wherever we go and whatever we do, we are always in your presence. I'm reminded of the lessons we have learned so recently, from the hardships and selfless acts of Ice Storm PACs to the horrors of the shootings at the Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, and most recently, with the horrible losses at the hands of the recent South Carolina floods. I am reminded of how we all, despite our differences in times of need, recognize our common bonds, come together with unified human goodwill, and respond to our instinct to care and show love to one another, just as you have taught us to do. So here today, and as always, we pray that our thoughts and deeds may reflect your wishes and honor your desires as we make the decisions and set the course towards whatever our future has in store. We ask for your guidance and ask that you give us the wisdom and the judgment to make wise choices, to consider all persons, to love and respect each other as you have led us to do. If we must face disappointment, help us to learn patience. If we must face sorrow, help us to learn sympathy. If we must face pain, help us to learn strength. If we must face danger, help us to learn courage. If we must face failure, help us to learn endurance. If we achieve success, help us to learn gratitude. If we attain prosperity, help us to learn generosity. If we win praise, help us to learn humility. And as we stand before you today, help us to learn the value of service and the virtue of patience and of caring for one another and for the whole city of Aiken. May you and your Holy Spirit guide us and keep us for all of our days in this world. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Council, do we have any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening?
Mr. Mayor, I would ask for the city attorney's advice. As we go through the testing and backfill evaluation, if we need to authorize some money, that can we vote on that tonight, Mr. City Attorney, if ask for it to be in the agenda, or does that have to go at the next meeting?
I'm not sure what the city manager's plans were in that regard, in terms of whether he was ready to have that analysis prepared.
We are getting cost estimates this evening, and then the council could determine what direction they...
You know where the money would come from to pay for that?
No, but I mean, if we could either decide that, I could decide that before the item comes up, or at the next meeting.
I think it requires a budget amendment, because it's not something that's presently in the budget, unless it would otherwise fit within the budget.
No, we would have to identify additional resources.
Okay. Thank you. That was my comment, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Thank you. First item is consideration of the minutes of the regular meeting of October 12, 2015. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
So moved.
I second.
Okay. Any discussion? Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Under presentations, we have a couple. First is a request to place a banner in downtown in honor of the Veterans Day. And do we have someone here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Would you please come over to the podium? And that's...
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. I'm not going to pick you up.
I'm Regent Julie Hardaway with the Henry Middleton Chapter, Daughters of the American Revolution, and we're requesting that two banners actually be placed over one in a prominent place in the city of Aiken. I have been in contact with Charles Barranco, who recommended the size, and I asked him to choose the location, which he said he would do, but we needed your approval. And I actually have a banner with me tonight if you'd like to see that. And this would be around Veterans Day, and it is thanking all veterans. Mm-hmm. Would you like to see that?
Yes. Can you help? Stuart, would you help? Oh.
You got a better help than right there.
Okay, very nice.
Thank you.
How many would they be, Judy? Maybe you mentioned it and I missed it.
Well, initially I was asking for one, and the size that he recommended was 2 foot by 4 foot, and he said that was the size of the USC Aiken banners, and that's what he would like to have. So we were able to purchase two, so that would be on both sides of a traffic signal. So that traffic, so that people can see it.
Okay. All right. That sounds like a wonderful thing to do. Do we have a motion and second for approval?
I make a motion that we approve the request to place a banner in the downtown in honor of Veterans Day.
Okay.
Second.
Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
Ma'am.
Judy, thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
May I make a statement regarding banners, please?
Certainly.
At some point in time, I'd like for us to discuss greater highlights of our banners, and I think I've mentioned this before with how other cities have banners. When you approach their city, it goes, strolls across the highway in certain areas, so I'd like to have that discussion so it will give more visibility with the kinds of things that we're highlighting doing in our community. So. But that's for another discussion on the agenda. Just wanted to make
mm-hmm. mm-hmm. I think that's an excellent thing. Okay, item two is a proclamation honoring Claude Boyd for being National Christopher Columbus Essay winner. And let me read. We have one more, so I'll go ahead and get that one prepared. Come on over, Claude. Proclamation proclaiming November 1st, 2015 is National Literacy Day in Aiken. So those two. Claude A.J. Boyd, son of Mr. and Mrs. C. Allen Boyd III of Aiken, is a Henry Middleton chapter, and the NSDAR, National Christopher Columbus Essay Winner. Whereas Claude Boyd, a homeschooled student, now attends USC Aiken and hopes to major in mechanical engineering, represented Aiken in the Columbus Day in Washington, D.C., whereas Claude's essay first won in Aiken, then at the state level, and then won for the Southeast Division, which includes the states of Georgia, North Carolina, Florida, Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, and South Carolina. Whereas the DAR chapter received notice that Claude's essay had also won for the entire nation. Now therefore, I, Fred B. Kavanaugh, Mayor of the City of Aiken, South Carolina, and City Council, do hereby honor Claude, recognize, and commend him for the great honor that he has accomplished in winning the National Christopher Columbus Essay Contest, and are thrilled that we represented, that he represented Aiken on the Columbus Day, Washington, D.C., where he received his award. Council thanks him for being such a positive role model and wishes him well as he continues his life journey at USC Aiken, Columbia, and beyond. Signed by all of our council members. Next proclamation is for literacy. Is someone here?
It's me again.
Mr. Mayor.
With your
family, yes.
Can we have Claude's family, if he has any family, to stand?
Please? Certainly, yeah. National Family Literacy Day, Sunday, November 1st, 2015. Whereas National Family Literacy Day was first celebrated in 1994 across America, National Family Literacy Day is observed each year on November 1st. And whereas educational research has long recognized that reading to children increases their chances of successful school careers, and whereas our city wishes to encourage our public libraries, schools, community organizations, and churches to hold activities that foster families spending time reading together. Now, therefore, Fred B. Kavanaugh, Mayor of the City of Aiken, South Carolina, and City Council, hereby proclaim November 1st as National Family Literacy Day, and ask our citizens to spend an hour this week reading to a family member, especially to children, grandchildren, or simply to a child who needs your time and attention. Ideally, the city hope is that the experience is so rewarding that it becomes a tradition carried down through generations of our citizens. Signed by all council members. Thank you again.
Busy. I would just like to make a correction for the minutes that Claude is a student at the University of South Carolina in Columbia, not Aiken. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, old business. Item one, approval of appointments to and discussions of appointees to various city boards, commissions, and committees.
Mr. Clem. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and through you to the members of our City Council. City Council has 18 pending appointments to fill vacancies on different city boards, commissions, and committees. Five appointments are presented for Council's consideration and vote at tonight's meeting. Councilman Duar has recommended the reappointment of Brendan Daugherty to the Board of Zoning Appeals. Since Board of Zoning Appeals terms are for 3 years, if reappointed, Mr. Daugherty's term would expire December 1st, 2018. Councilman Duar has also recommended the reappointment of Charles Herbst to the Design Review Board, and if reappointed, his term would expire 31 December 2017. Councilwoman Diggs has recommended the reappointment of Susan DeBrawl to the Planning Commission. If reappointed, Ms. DeBrawl's term would expire December 1st, 2017. Councilman Ebner has recommended the reappointment of Ronald Delamora to the Energy and Environmental Committee with a term to expire December 31st, 2017. Councilwoman Price has recommended the reappointment of Charles Matthews to the Planning Commission. If reappointed, Mr. Matthews' terms would expire December 1st, 2017. For council consideration is the reappointment of Brendan Doherty to the Board of Zoning Appeals, Charles Herbst to the Design Review Board, Susan DeBrawl and Charles Matthews to the Planning Commission, and Ronald Delamora to the Energy and Environmental Committee.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second for approval?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we approve these requests.
Second.
Okay, second. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor. Passes unanimously. How about a nomination? Any nominations for next meeting?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to reappoint Josh Stewart to the Design Review Board.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to reappoint Pat Paramiti to the BZA.
Okay. Any others? If not, they'll be on the agenda for our next meeting. Item 2 is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend budget ordinance number 0608-2015A to allocate money for tourism.
Mr. Mayor, an ordinance amending the budget of the City of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2015 and ending June 30, 2016. The City Council approved the 15-16 budget in June, which includes money allocated for the hospitality tax. From mid-November through late December is a special time of the year with many activities happening in our city. Our Aiken Downtown Development Association and the City of Aiken Tourism Division of the Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Department would like to promote various activities and bring more people to Aiken during this special time of year. They would like to have Aiken become a destination for holiday shopping and raise awareness of upcoming events. We would like to request that the hospitality tax budget be amended by reducing the amount allocated for buildings by $20,000 and have $18,600 reallocated to advertising and $1,400 reallocated to other professional services as outlined in the memorandum within your agenda item. City Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the October 12, 2015 meeting. For council consideration is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend ordinance number 0608-2015A, approving the 15-16 budget to allocate funds for tourism development.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second for approval?
I so move.
Second.
Okay. Discussion? Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 3, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to sell 7 properties in Crosland Park and Edgewood and Second Baptist and to Second Baptist Community Development Corporation. Mr. Clem.
Mr. Mayor, an ordinance approving the sale of 7 properties. At the City Council's January 5, 2015 meeting, you approved a resolution adopting a memorandum of understanding with the Second Baptist Community Development Corporation to apply for funding with the South Carolina State Housing and Development Authority's Neighborhood Improvement Program. The goal of this program is to stabilize property values through the demolition of blighted or unsafe properties. 7 properties were accepted into the program. The addresses are noted within the agenda item. 6 of the properties are in Crosland Park and 1 property is in Edgewood. We are recommending all properties be sold to the Second Baptist Community Development Corporation as noted in the agenda item. City Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the October 12, 2015 meeting. For City Council consideration is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to sell 7 properties in Crosland Park and Edgewood to Second Baptist Community Development Corporation as part of the Neighborhood Improvement Program.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second for approval?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve this ordinance on second reading to sell 7 properties in Crossland Park and the Edgewood area to Second Baptist Community Development Corporation And with that stated, Second Baptist, I think, are going to do some more creative things than what we see here with these properties. So I look forward to seeing that.
They have done wonderful things so far in some of the things that they've taken.
DuPont Landing, yes, sir.
Oh, DuPont Landing is very nice. Yeah. Okay, do we have a second for that?
I second.
Okay, any other discussion?
I just would quickly extend a note of appreciation to the work Paula Blessing did on evaluating these properties and assigning some values. I know in the state of repair they were in, it was not an easy thing for her to do, and probably took a lot more time and sweat than any of us would recognize. So I wanted to say thank you to Paula Blessing.
And I'd also like to say a special thanks to Harvey Ramsour with the Second Baptist Association for agreeing to buy these properties. And not sure what the plans are, whether they intend to raise them, leave it as green space, or even build other structures on this. But we just thank you for your willingness to do this for the Crosland Park community. Mm-hmm. And I think he's in the audience. Harvey?
Yes.
Stan?
We're back.
Thank you.
While we're on this subject, Emery, where are you? Is Emery here? Stand up, Emery, please, so folks can see you. Emery is the person that works with this program, and certainly it's not an easy job. What we want said by our community is Crosland Park is a great community and a safe place to live. We're working towards that. And certainly, we just need your support in terms of helping to change the image of Crosland Park. We're not there yet. We're getting there. And just need your help with that.
Very good. We've got a motion and a second. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 4, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance regarding building height restrictions in the downtown business zones.
Mr. Mayor, and through you to the members of our City Council, at the June 22nd and July 13 Council meetings, the City Council considered an amendment to the zoning ordinance to change the maximum building height in the entire downtown business district from 50 feet to 75 feet. The City Council denied this request on second reading on July 13, 2015. As the zoning ordinance allows a new ordinance about building height significantly different from the previous ordinance was considered by the City Council on September 28, 2015. At that time, the Council considered an ordinance to increase the allowable height for the entire downtown business district from 50 to 55 feet. The ordinance was unanimously approved by the City Council on September 28, 2015, and referred to the Planning Commission for a recommendation. At their October 13, 2015 meeting, the Planning Commission considered the request from City Council that the maximum building height in the downtown business district be increased from 50 to 55 feet. The Planning Commission voted unanimously to recommend to the City Council an amendment to the zoning ordinance to increase the building height to 55 feet for all other properties zoned DB. City Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the September 28, 2015 meeting. For City Council consideration, a second reading and a public hearing of an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance to change the maximum building height in the downtown business district to 55 feet.
Thank you, sir.
Additionally, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to submit into the public record two engineering reports that we have received, one from Haas and Hillebrand, and another from Carolina Land Surveying for your review.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I'd like to make a motion to suspend the rules so that our citizens will have a chance to speak. I know there are a few out there that would like to speak. That's my motion. Do we have
second?
Second? Okay. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes by everyone. Okay. Yes, sir. All right. Just a reminder, please, name and address for everyone.
You know the drill. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Philip Windsor. My wife and I live at 241 Wingdown Circle in the city of Aiken. I am a retired registered architect and have spent more than 40 years in the design and construction of schools, municipal buildings, and commercial enterprises. My commissions have included repurposing of elementary schools to a county courthouse, another to town offices, full restoration of an 1880 municipal building, which is both a historical landmark on the Federal Register, but also has state designation and protection with mandates, which mandates procedures that takes place during the restoration process. We even went to the effort of spectrographic analysis of brick mortar so that a recipe could be developed, assuring that those sections that were being torn down, cataloged, repaired, and reinstalled would match the original. Another project was an entire business block in a village that was incorporated in the late 17th or 18th centuries. When stripping away the layers of 850 to almost 200 years of material that had been applied to those buildings, we found in some the original bones or structure that dated back to the colonial era. I specifically mention these last two projects only to emphasize that I care for and am sensitive to what has come before. Let's face it, there are buildings that every effort should be made to save. However, there are those, particularly in the private sector, that require and demand updating. But there are also compromises that, in my opinion, enter into the design equation. The cityscape we observe today is not what it was 50 or 100 years ago. What was good or bad architecture yesterday has slowly evolved into what is good and bad architecture today. Some of this may be referred to as financial expediency, but that is the nature of the beast. I have read with great interest recent letters addressed to the Aiken Standard. One author, perhaps in a charitable manner, recognized that property owners should and can maintain their properties. I believe there was even a dictated shopping list of acceptable activities. However, there was a glaring omission. No suggestion as to how the property owner was or business person might improve their investment, increase foot traffic, create a greater return, or improve profit margins. These are the everyday challenges that confront our business people, not only in the region, but more specifically tonight in the downtown area. We are all aware of what I call the revolving storefront syndrome. That is, a business, be it retail, restaurant, whatever venture that someone has the courage to pursue, go into that first year lease, then in 12 months or less, close up. The windows get papered over or covered in plywood, and then the next cycle begins, and we await the next brave soul who might have an enterprising idea. Any viable business enterprise requires people, plus a supportable and verifiable business plan. It requires not only a good product, but a supportive population base. That is what part of this discussion is about, how to get that kind of traffic into what I refer to as the Center Business District. I use this term only because it is one I'm both familiar and comfortable with. Perhaps this might suggest another overlay over the present overlays, but that is a discussion for another time. Let's face the fact that tonight's article, which is being presented for second reading, is all about a proposed addition to the Aiken Hotel. It has been talked about, written about, in some cases misinterpreted, all accompanied by a great deal of speculation and misunderstanding. I have followed its progress through design review, planning board, and city council, talked privately with some of those members, and also listened to others, citizens who have expressed views both for and against. A 5-foot increase is allowed in allowed building height. As our city manager so eloquently portrayed a while ago, as a 30-inch increase above the average high point of the existing hotel, a business owner wishes to capitalize on his investment and develop a reasonable return. I'm sure that this is supported by a business plan, which in turn assures that money can be borrowed and the project go forward. Early criticisms, my own included, have been addressed by the owner-developer and his design team. Don't you think it is time for the project to unfold and in the process change the sometimes negative dynamic we seem to be engaged in? Some opponents feel that a 5-foot height increase will somehow carry a seed that will spread throughout the center of our city and allow a host of 5-story buildings to sprout up, creating a visual disaster the likes of which have never been seen before. I'll apologize now, but that premise is ludicrous.
Philip, excuse me, your time is running
over. I'm sorry, sir.
Over.
Just got one more page.
Okay.
Based on narratives I have read, there is a suggestion we will have a... Excuse me. I mentioned earlier that it takes people for any business environment to thrive. Please believe me when I say the most minimal start of any endeavor would require a population base, as outlined, 4 to 6 times greater than what is here now. How about 200,000 or 300,000 people or more? Zoning bylaws aren't magic. All they do is provide a canvas for an architect, designer, owner to portray what might be. In the past year or so, I picked up a thin publication that I even called a magazine from an open house at the Jewish synagogue just a few blocks from here. It is titled The Jewish Historical Society of South Carolina. It provides a narrative and pictures that describe the immigration of Eastern European families to our shores. They had left every part of their lives behind in order to venture here. Many, for all intents, were poor, but they ended up in Aiken. Shopkeepers, tradesmen filling a financial vacuum, their history written in the publication is fascinating. I wonder what these immigrants and our native-born residents might think about what we are doing today. As they prospered, building envelopes changed to fit the growing needs of the population and the shopkeeper's own business plan. Shingle or clapboard siding was removed or cut up.
You need to close it out, please.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I'll finish. Tonight, we should move on and work towards a more sustainable and vibrant downtown community, keeping in mind that the texture of our urban landscape can be protected and, in my mind, improved. With the City Council's hopefully positive vote tonight, the hotel addition might just provide the first step. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Let's go down this way, and then we'll come back this way. Who's next? Over here. I know it's on this subject especially, it's hard to keep it maybe to 5 minutes, but we need to do it because there are an awful lot of people here that want to speak, and I really feel, and council feels, that's why we set this up, that if you're prepared with what you want to say, you could probably do it in 5 minutes.
You can do it in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I can definitely do it in 5 minutes. If I can, I'd certainly apologize. Jason Raven, 662 Coker Springs Drive. On behalf of the Aiken Downtown Development Association, Economic Development Partnership, and the Aiken Corporation, we have released a final draft of a study prepared by Joseph Von Nessen, Dr. Joseph Von Nessen, out of the Research Economics Division, the University of South Carolina Moore School of Business. Now, I won't go through this report. I think you've been given a copy of this detailed outline of an 18-page economic impact of the hotel renovation. But there are 4 points that I would like to address to both council and those in attendance tonight. The current expansion of the Hotel Aiken from 62 to 80 rooms and modernization of all hotel facilities will be a huge and economic impact for our downtown district. The purpose of this study is to specifically document the economic impact of the Hotel Aiken and the downtown Aiken area. This will include estimates of all impacts resulting from one-time renovation and expansion of the hotel itself, as well as estimates of the permanent increase in economic activity associated with the expanded operation of larger hotel facilities. The key findings of the study are as follows. The total economic impact resulting from all activities associated with the renovation of the Hotel Aiken on downtown Aiken is estimated to be approximately $11.7 million. The total economic impact that comes about through the renovation of the Hotel Aiken will yield an employment multiplier of 1.6. This implies that on average, every 10 jobs that will be created through the Hotel Aiken renovation project will lead to an additional 6 jobs elsewhere in our downtown. Although the city of Aiken only experienced marginal economic growth between 2010 and 2014, this growth has increased substantially over the last 12 months and now exceeds the state average. A large portion of the city's economic growth since the Great Recession has come from the leisure and hospitality sector, suggesting that the demand will continue to rise from tourism-based businesses in our downtown. The Hotel Aiken will be in a position to take advantage of this potential new demand upon completion of its planned renovation and expansion. The third of four bullet points, upon completion of the renovation, the annual economic impact of the Hotel Aiken will increase by nearly 200% from $532,000 to $1.5 million, assuming that the occupancy rate remains at its current level of 30%. If this occupancy rate doubles to the state average of 60%, the annual total economic impact of the Hotel Aiken will increase from $532,000 to $3.1 million. And fourth, approximately 24% of the total economic impact arising from the operation of the Hotel Aiken comes from the retail and dining industries. This implies that upon completion of all renovations, the Hotel Aiken will generate an increase in annual activity in the retail and dining industries of between $254,000 and $640,000, depending on the occupancy rate of the hotel. I think this report says itself that this is a huge potential business opportunity for our downtown, and as a young professional, I'd greatly like to see this approved as well, because I think our downtown is on the verge of some great improvements, and I think this is the start of it all. Thank you.
Thank you, Chase.
Hello, my name is Eric Brinkley. I live at 62 Bates Road, Aiken, South Carolina. I'm here to represent, I'm on the board of the Aiken Downtown Development Association, and I am also the 2015 chair of the Aiken Young Professionals, part of the chamber. I know this has meant a lot of grief about historic. As you probably know from my last name, the ground you stand on right now, before the train came, my family raised cattle. We had the highest building in downtown Aiken. Apparently, it still stands, the yellow house on the corner. So for people who want to keep the historical aspect of it, we had the highest building at one time, and it got raised. So, I'm personally excited about the fact that there are people willing to invest $10 million for a project in Aiken, and even more excited that they want to invest it downtown. Think about the other great cities in this state that have similar hotels to the one that want to be built. How many of them have these hotels? All of them. Greenville, Charleston, and Columbia, just to name a few, all have hotels that are able to handle conferences where people can have meetings, they can eat, and they can sleep all under one roof. It's just one trait that makes those downtown areas great. Right now, downtown Aiken does not have that option. Think about how many more people will be able to stay downtown Aiken, eat downtown Aiken, walk downtown Aiken, shop downtown Aiken, and learn to love downtown Aiken as much as we do. Imagine the economic impacts those people who fall in love with Aiken could not only have downtown, but also this entire city. Different leaders and members of this community tell me all the time, they would love to hear our inputs and our opinions from the young professionals of Aiken. I've even heard from some of y'all that our inputs are vital to Aiken and its future. We are urged as young professionals, as future leaders of this city, to take a stance on issues and let our stance be known. We have a stance. We want this hotel. We want this height restriction raised from 50 to 55 feet. It is up to you, Council, to hear my opinion and our opinion and do what you wish with it. But as the future of Aiken, we ask you to approve this height restriction. Finally, I would like to recognize that Aiken is at a crossroads. One way is growth and a path towards greatness, and the other is the status quo. We have to remember that a city that is not changing is a city that is dying. By raising this height restriction to 55 feet, only 30 inches from the existing height of the hotel, Aiken City Council has taken a step toward the future growth of Aiken. I found an interesting fact, and it's about a human step. An Arizona State University study showed that the length of an average human step is 30 inches. Think about that, 30 inches. The exact same distance we're discussing here. So, Council, I challenge you, are you going to take that 30-inch step towards the future, towards the growth of this community, or are you going to take that 30-inch step towards a dying city unwilling to change?
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Terry Mikowski. I reside at 32 Bungalow Court with my wife. 5 years ago, I came and experienced the delights of an evening in downtown Aiken. And it was a big part of the decision, my wife and I, to relocate here. Today, I serve as the director of the Savannah River National Laboratory and as an executive vice president of the Savannah River Nuclear Solutions. And I can tell you that we host scores of visitors from around the world every year, and the opportunity to have a modern accommodation, I relish, for them to come and have the same experience I did, to experience the wonderful restaurants and shops we have in town, and experience the delightful city that we live in. Now, I also have a vested interest. Over the next few years, I will be hiring hundreds of new staff. I will be bringing them in, and I need to convince them this is the place they should live. Having an accommodation in this city of ours will go a long way for them to see this not only as the place where they want to come and work, but as the city they want to reside once they've chosen their position here. So I come here tonight to speak strongly in favor of this zoning change and feel it will make a big difference in the health of the community as well as my own laboratory. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Bart Blackwell, 6 Round Hill Court in Aiken. Good evening, Mayor Cavanaugh, members of City Council. As you know, I'm the owner of B&S Machine Tool and currently the chairman of the Greater Aiken Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors. And I'm here before you tonight to make sure there's absolutely no doubt in your minds as to where the Chamber of Commerce stands on this issue. My entire board and our professional staff unanimously support the increased building height limitation because we know it will facilitate the redevelopment, the renovation of Hotel Aiken. And I'm certain that the overwhelming majority of my nearly 1,000 members also support this change. In the 4 or 5 months since this issue has been at the forefront of our discussion, I can tell you that not a single member of the chamber has come to me and expressed any concern or has stated anything negative towards the change in the building height limitation or the renovation of the hotel. Most folks have voiced a degree of frustration and seemed a bit bewildered as to why it's taken so long to get this change passed to a seemingly simple issue with a really just one clear answer. Because we understand that when complete, Hotel Aiken will become a magnet for individuals and groups to come to our city. It'll become a magnet for our own citizens to venture downtown on a more often basis. And it'll become a magnet for existing businesses and new businesses to invest to take advantage of this increased traffic. And I believe it'll become a magnet for folks outside of our city who are considering relocating to take a serious look at Aiken. The renovation of Hotel Aiken is a gift from the owners to the city, a gift that should be welcomed with open arms and embraced and supported in each and every way. This is an easy one, and with all due respect, I think it's a no-brainer. With your permission, Mayor Cavanaugh, I'd like to poll our audience this evening and ask those folks who are in favor of this project to please stand. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
And folks, if you're in favor of the Hotel Aiken and increase in building height, please stand at this time. Thank you.
Now, I'd like to have those that don't agree also to stand. Make this thing fair. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah.
And I urge you not just simply to pass this motion, but I urge you to pass it with a unanimous vote and send a signal to the business community and our concerned citizens that you take economic vitality seriously and that you understand we must change and adapt if we're going to continue this city in a prosperous way going forward.
Thank you, sir. Next, over here. All right, we'll see over here. I'd like to speak. Yes, yes, ma'am.
My name is Sally Rich, and I live at 210 Knox Avenue in Aiken. I am a downtown business owner, a downtown property owner, and a lifelong resident of Aiken. I've seen downtown Aiken, and specifically Lawrence Street, go through many transitions in my lifetime. When I was a child in the 60s, it was the retail center of all of Aiken County. There was not an empty storefront. There were chain stores. There were independent stores, all next door to each other and all prospering together. In the 70s, those stores moved to the shopping center, and I don't recall any reason I ever needed to come downtown Aiken because everything was away from the downtown. The alley renovations in the 70s and the early 80s brought us all back downtown for dining and entertainment, which in turn brought retail back to downtown Aiken. The streetscape projects, which beautified Lawrence Street with the light posts and the trees, gave us the charming shopping area that we all know today. But in my opinion, the height of downtown popularity was about 10 years ago. In 2005, there were numerous dining options, entertainment options, and a vibrant retail scene. It was difficult to ever get a parking place on Lawrence Street, day or night. I feel there's been a gradual decline in the last 10 years, and it is rare that I can't find a parking place on the block in front of my store, even though I don't park there. The time is now to rekindle the spark that has given us a downtown to be proud of. I speak to people every day from other places who are amazed at what we have in Aiken. And yes, we do have it, but we can't rest on our laurels. We have got to move forward and ensure that Aiken remains vital and vibrant. My father was the chairman of the Aiken Planning Commission in the 1970s. For how many years, I don't remember, but it was a long time. I sat through many a family dinner while he frustratingly talked of the people who came to the Planning Commission and complained about any growth and any change because they wanted the village to remain the same. If the village remained the same that it was in the 1970s, we would have no village today. We must change and we must grow, but with respect to our past and our history. It can be done. The time is now, and this ordinance change is the first step in that positive direction. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Next.
Good evening, Council.
Good evening.
Susan Victor, 638 Magnolia Street, Aiken, South Carolina. Many years ago, I was tasked to go to different communities and look at art centers that had been moved from outside locations to downtown. And at that time, or right after that time, our art center that we all know and love so well had been moved from Rose Hill to downtown Aiken, under a lot of duress and a lot of complaints about how it was going to lose its charm and it was not going to be the charming place that it had been at Rose Hill. We, in turn, secured the building as a donation, started a fundraiser, and started the renovation. The downtown building was not charming. It had been the previous Heligmeyer furniture store. Mm-hmm. And if anybody visited the Art Center at that time, you would have realized it was anything but charming. But we had a community that really bought into a downtown vibrant area, and the change brought about a beautiful art center that we all know and love now. We went from 60 members at the time that we were doing this to well over 1,000, and we brought in new patrons, students, exhibits, receptions. Change is uncertain. I understand that. But it doesn't mean that we lose our charm. And as a downtown business owner, I think I can speak for all of us, Sally, the people that own businesses there. If we were to lose the charm of Aiken, it would be a huge loss. And people like me would close our doors. But the renovation of this hotel, a historic site, making it a vital part of our downtown, could do nothing but add to the charm of our community. So therefore, I ask the council to consider unanimously voting for this.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. It's down low, but it'll pick you up. You just talk and it'll...
Yeah, I'm Bob Krasaja, and I live at 1269 Woodbine. And let me just say, I'm kind of conflicted about it. It seems like a well-planned renovation of a hotel that needs it. 5 feet isn't very much. But sitting here and listening, I'm afraid I'm going to have to lecture with an Illinois accent, no less. I've been here for 30 years. When I came here... You talk about dying downtown, it was practically dead. And there were 20,000 people working at Savannah River, and it was still dead downtown. And I attribute the rebirth to mainly one thing, retirees. They came here, look downtown today, who do you see? Gray-haired people. They came down here because, not because of a hotel that was planned, or a meeting center, they came down because they liked it as it was. I liked it as it was. I could have gone to North Augusta, which would have put me near Augusta. I could have gone to the area of Martinez or north of Augusta, but I didn't because I liked it the way it was. I'm sitting here listening to people who don't seem to like it the way it is. I'm a little surprised. I think the hotel, the downtown area has come along nicely. You have Lowe's, you've got Walmart, you had a mall, which if you look at a sick place, a sick institution, that may be the one in town. So, like I said, I'm conflicted on this. It seems to be a reasonable renovation with some good ideas. Hopefully, I sure hope it isn't like the two big hotels on the south side on Whiskey Road. The Country Inn Suites and the Holiday Inn Express that happen to be about 50 feet high. Can you imagine one of those downtown? How would that work for you? Hopefully it won't be that. But imagine it if it were. So, I also came from Boulder, Colorado. That place, talk about community preservation. Their plan was, we don't want anybody coming here. We know they want to come here. We've got it. We're going to protect it. And guess what that did? More people wanted to go there. So, I would make one other pitch, and that is, spend a little less time trying to attract outsiders and make the community better for insiders. You talk about new people coming into this community. What do young people want? They want schools. They want good schools. Pretty much, period. So I know there's some work around in Aiken County to improve the schools, the facilities. If those schools were perceived as a notch better than in Georgia, North Augusta, you have the young people draw. So all I can say in conclusion is I thought Aiken was a great place when I moved here. The history, the horses, Hitchcock Woods, all of that. I think maybe you ought to appreciate what you've had for 20 years, and you can lose it. You can lose it. Having a whole bunch of people talking about Columbia, Greenville, you want to be Columbia or Greenville? Have you ever gone to Have you tried driving to Columbia lately? I love it, but rush hour begins at 4. Greenville's great, too, but those are big cities. I mean, they're 150,000, 200,000 people, right? I mean, seriously, I would have moved to, if I wanted to, that, I would have moved to Augusta, or gotten a home in Augusta, or North Augusta. So, all you can say is, careful what you dream of, you may get it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next. Next over here. Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Council.
My name is Philip Jordan. I live at 112 Green Ash Court. I'd like to start out by saying I'd like to give my 5 minutes to the first gentleman that was talking because he had such wonderful things to say. I wanted to hear more. But his words were very, very wonderful. It was great to hear his perspective because I'm not an architect, even though I Googled it on the way here today. So, you know, I don't really know as much as he does. A couple of things that I sort of wanted to point out. There's been so many things that have been said about, you know, being like Charleston, being like Greenville, etc. And for the record, Aiken is a great town to live in, and I'm very proud to be born and raised here. The Francis Marion Hotel in historic downtown Charleston, 165 feet. Okay, I think at the last reading, a person mentioned that 50 feet was the height limit. It's only in the Battery. There are certain zones where it is 50 feet. But right downtown, the historic district, 165 feet. The MUSC Medical Center, 140 feet. Savannah, Georgia, I think was in the letter to the editor. The Holiday Inn Historical District is 95 feet. So just some facts. Facts are stubborn things. And, you know, it just really needs to be stressed that these cities that do have thriving historic districts, right, they do maintain beauty and charm. Right, but as a business owner, I think it's really important that business owners are allowed to grow their businesses. I'm also not a hotelier, so we'll leave that up to the Shaws to run their hotel the way that they seem fit. But again, bureaucracy and city getting involved, and that is very important. So there can be a guidance, but these guys need to be able to grow their business however they see fit. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else over? Okay.
As the next person's coming forward, I want to just come on everyone, remind everyone that all comments should be addressed to the mayor, to the chair. I know it's tempting to speak to your supporters in the crowd, but again, all comments should be addressed to the chair with everything that's said.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, Council, my name is Ryan Reynolds. I live on 3 Brookline Drive, North Hounslow. I don't have any prepared notes or stats or anything like that. I'm just speaking as a 36-year-old, almost lifelong resident of Aiken. I'm a partial owner of my family's construction company, H.G. Reynolds, and I listened to the comments of the gentleman about schools, which we're a big part of. And I think that's the first step that Aiken took towards our vision of growth was to pass the penny sales tax to better our schools, which was step number one. As a 36-year-old young person and part of the Aiken community, and as many of my friends who I grew up with would probably also echo, is the fact that what does Aiken have to offer young families? And it was easy for me to come back to Aiken because my family's business was here and I was from here, so I know the charm of Aiken. But how do I explain to somebody who's not from Aiken, what does Aiken offer a young person, young families? Well, we got golf courses. We got horses. What else? And since I graduated high school in 1997, the South Side and even the downtown has taken a step towards growth. Well, it really has. And I think the leaders at that time saw the vision that I think a lot of us see. And it's not about a 5-foot height of a hotel at the end of the day. It's about a step towards growth. He mentioned a 30-inch human step. Well, we need to take that step. Because I'm telling you, people my age, they're looking at Greenville and Charleston and Columbia and Charlotte, period. The places that we go, that my wife and I take my family and go out of town on the weekends, we go to Greenville, Charleston, Columbia, Ralph. That's where we go. Because that's where all people like us thrive on a city where their leaders believe in taking a step forward. And all I'm asking is as an Aiken resident, I'm always going to be here, whether we make this change or not. And all I'm asking you guys is to listen to the majority of these folks in here and take a step, not just for a hotel, but for the betterment of Aiken, to attract a younger force of people. It's never going to be a Charleston or a Columbia. We don't have to worry about traffic and that kind of stuff. But what we do have to worry about is the vitality of Aiken. And if we don't make a step, it's not going to happen, period. Right. And as a young person, I'm asking to make that change unanimously.
Mr. Jordan, Mr. Philip,
yes,
have a question to ask you.
Do you want to come up?
No, I'm not Philip. The gentleman that just came.
Oh,
Ryan.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan, yes, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Philip. No, I'm sorry. It's Ryan. Just want to take about a minute, Mr. Mayor. Ryan, you mentioned that your family goes to Greenville and Charleston, those places.
Okay.
I just want one or two things that attract you to those areas. I know that we're different here in Aiken, but when you look at your weekend, what makes you decide that we need to pick up the weekend and let's go spend our weekend at those locations?
I think the vitality of the downtown area.
It's the energy?
Yes, ma'am. It just screams young and vibrant, and Aiken's got it. I mean, it's just on the cusp. But we got to make a step to get it right. Get it right.
Okay. Thank you.
Right, thanks. Thank you.
Hi. Charlotte Wiedemann, 626 Hayne Avenue. I believe that Mr. Shaw is sitting on a gold mine. With a thoughtful renovation that maintains the historic character of the Hotel Aiken, he could offer the authentic winter resort experience that people are looking for when they come to downtown Aiken. By embracing the charm and potential of the property and working within the existing guidelines, Mr. Shaw has the opportunity to impact downtown Aiken far more than any generic chain hotel addition could ever accomplish. People want authenticity, a connection to history, and a sense of place, and they will readily pay for it. Mr. Shaw's request for 55 feet was denied by BZA. There was a belief that what could be accomplished in 55 feet could also be accomplished within the current 50 feet. Yet somehow the issue has come up again for City Council as a now downtown-wide change and not a change for one property owner. But I don't believe this height increase is about Mr. Shaw's property. This proposed height increase comes in the same year as the hospitality tax, which citizens were not allowed to vote on. It follows the announcement of a parking deck that two recent studies showed no need for and that citizens vocally oppose. Also released this year was the wish list that included a downtown convention center and most recently downtown affordable housing. Let's not forget that it is the same year as the all of a sudden much needed alley upgrades, but despite a council member saying the city was overpaying, they were going to move forward with the project anyway. Did it really need upgrading, or was it an upgrade to support a hotel, a parking deck, a convention center, and an apartment building? And finally, this was the year of the grass is always greener road trip of aspiration to be like cities three times our size with problems much greater than ours. Why? I think it is justifiable to question City Council. What are your true plans for downtown, and why is the push for these 5 feet so important? What can't be accomplished in the current 50 that 55 magically makes possible? Is it for Mr. Shaw's hotel? or is this for a five-story parking deck, apartment building, and convention center? Is it to entice a developer insensitive to the charm of our city? I am at a loss to understand the complete disregard for the guidelines in the Aiken Comprehensive Plan. It is the steering plan that many people in the room tonight worked hours to develop. It states in the Comprehensive Plan that we must absolutely protect our downtown as our most valuable asset and to maintain a strict adherence to the 50-foot height limit. Mr. Shaw has previously indicated that he will revisit the drawing board to make his hotel work within the guidelines. I would ask City Council to do the same. Respect the comprehensive plan that was developed for downtown Aiken to protect our most valuable asset and to strictly maintain the 50-foot height limit. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Either side? Anywhere? I see a hand.
She's standing.
I see a body with that hand.
Good evening, Council. My name is Ann Thomason, and I live, well, my home is at 231 Lancaster Street. Downtown is a historic home, one of several that I've restored. I would say I live there, but I think I live more at 139 Lawrence Street, which is another building that I restored on Main Street that I have, and the process right now of adding 24 rooms. And I did go up for or speak to the Design Review Board at a work session, which they were very patient with me because I showed up many times and would have pictures and, of course, they want architectural drawings. And so they'd laugh at me, and I didn't care because I really couldn't afford an architect before I found out whether I could do it or not do it, so I'd go back and start over again. And it has worked out great. I would still like to have that 5 feet, but my top two rooms are only 8 feet tall now. But I commend the Shaws for wanting to do what they're going to do and invest in this town. Mm-hmm. And I know everybody is really, a lot of people are very afraid of change. When you think about change, you think about 5 feet is going to be something that is going to change our whole downtown. If you want to see what downtown changes, I wish there was someone here that would talk to us about the Main Street program. I am very familiar with it. I'm from a very small town called Batesburg, if anybody knows. My father was mayor for 19 years, and I fought him to get the Main Street program involved in Batesburg. And if you want to see what happens without growth, good growth, a council that works with everyone's best interest, go look at Batesburg, South Carolina. The Main Street program started about 30 years ago. They couldn't understand why all these little small towns were dying. So they went out west, out middle Midwest, and they found a little town that was dying. They renovated the facades. They didn't do anything to the inside of those buildings. So they waited. People couldn't afford to restore the inside, so they went back and they started helping the insides. Then they came up with 5 points of how to make a downtown viable. But the key ingredient of all of it was, if a downtown dies, the entire city dies. Everything around it, it will start falling under, and again, go look at Batesburg, Swansea, they brought it to Swansea. They did the facades. They did not, the people didn't have the money to fix the inside, so they found, this was a learning process. But I will tell you, without growth, without us working with the Shaws, they don't make all the decisions. We make the decisions. Y'all, I have crawled to do what I do. I have worked. Everybody that knows me knows how hard I've worked. Mm-hmm. And if the Shaws need me to come work, I will be over there helping you paint. So, thank you for bringing the Main Street program to Aiken, because it will make us healthier in every way, and I am very happy for them to raise their height 5 feet. And I will say one other thing is that I do believe the height, all the height restrictions there, it doesn't even need to stop at 5 feet. Because good architecture, if that building, if the Hotel Aiken right now, think about when it was built, everybody could have been screaming, you know? But if good architecture, you could go 20 more feet and you wouldn't notice it. But a little tiny building, you've got to be just really careful. I mean, that's my opinion, and I'm not an architect either. But anyway, I love history, and I love Aiken, and I don't want to be Charleston or Greenville, or we want to be Aiken. How much better can you get, you know?
I don't know who started this thing about we want to be somewhere else. Yeah. I don't want to be anywhere else either. I came here a long time ago.
I moved here to 87 and love it, and love the history of it and the people that care. So we're all here because we care.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are different opinions, but we have to respect other people's opinions too. But I promise if our town doesn't grow healthy, it will fail.
You may remember the downtown at the state, what you're talking about. They were here in 88 when this place was in bad shape.
Mm-hmm. Bad shape.
That's
and look
right.
at it. How great.
And a lot of people worked and did a lot of things back in there. And there's a paper. I've got it. I won't pull it out right now, but I could. That shows the difference in so many things. Wade Bodie was right in the middle of it.
Right.
And so many other people were in the city. We worked together so well.
Right.
And that really brought Aiken up. To me, that's maybe the number one thing that's happened in Aiken over the years that I've been involved.
I agree.
Is that change that was made in Aiken.
I agree.
And if anybody wants to see what it looked like back then, I've got a paper. You're free to see it.
Yes,
thank
just
you.
Just to all hold on each other's hands and lift everybody up. That's what we do.
And if I might add, you mentioned it's not council, it is the citizens. And certainly, we are just adding on to what you said, it was the citizens that came together and said, we want to make these changes with the strategic plan and people getting together in focus groups, identifying the areas that interested them. And that's why you see the beauty you see right now, and it's going to get even better.
That's
so,
right.
Thank you, Ann.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well said.
Lawyer has to have his legal pad with him.
My name is Bez Rich. I live at 210 Knox Avenue. Yesterday was my 35th wedding anniversary, and as far as I can remember, my wife and I have never both spoken publicly with anyone. But for me to have to follow her tonight, it's really tough. I should have had enough sense to get up and speak first. But I'm wearing several hats tonight. As some of you know, I literally, figuratively wear hats. But I'm the attorney tonight for the Shaw family. I'm also the recently elected chairman of Aiken Corporation, and I very much look forward to working with all of you in the future with a future economic vitality in future. About 4 years ago, I was chairman of the Aiken Chamber of Commerce, and we later had the privilege of chairing the Blue Ribbon panel for the chamber. And that really opened my eyes as to what we were doing and what we were not doing in Aiken. We had speakers come in, and it made me realize that other cities were out there hustling. They were working on their economic vitality. They were improving their communities, and we really weren't doing it. And from that point forward, I realized that it's time for us to start making changes for the economic vitality of Aiken. Other cities are doing it, and if we don't get out there and hustle, they're going to eat our lunch. We've got to get, there's been several mentions of change tonight. I think my Ann Thomas was just talking about it. Change is coming, and if we don't get in front of it and shape it, it'll go right past us, and it'll change us in ways that we don't want to be changed. We've had a lot of success in Aiken with public-private initiatives. And I hope that in the future we'll have more of those. I think they've done a lot of wonderful things for this community. But this is not one of them. This is a totally private enterprise where the Shaw family is willing to put their $10 million into our community. They're not asking for a thing. There was an early perception that they were asking for the parking garage. That was never their request. And they're not asking for it now. They're not asking for anything except 5 feet on the zoning thing. That's the only thing that they're asking for. So the big picture here is that we got to look at the big picture, not get bogged down in the weeds of what we're looking at. They understand that there are rules to follow. Some of the objections, I think, that have been out there, they're going to have their opportunity to speak in front of the Design Review Committee. They understand fully that they've got to go through that, and they understand that their Design Review Committee is going to be looking very hard at this project. They're not going to get a free pass, and they don't expect it. They have worked on their plans considerably since the beginning of it. I've seen some of the renderings. They're not quite finished at this point, but they are working very hard to make this hotel conform with the historical beauty and the preservation of downtown Aiken. I think we're all going to be extremely pleased to see what comes out of this. There was also some earlier mention about the old master plan. I had the opportunity of looking at it today. In a couple of sections, I think, do up a lot of this. Section 11.5 says that they're encouraged to provide assistance to small businesses that create jobs for low-income citizens. The conservative estimate is that they are going to directly create 15 to 20 jobs, perhaps more. If I understood Jason's comments earlier, that has a multiplier factor of perhaps 6. So we're going to get close to 100 jobs in downtown Aiken from this project. It also states that we're to continue to evaluate regulations to ensure that they do not impose unreasonable obstacles to economic development. Exactly where we are. And then Section 13.1 is directly on point. It states that we should encourage renovation wherever possible instead of tearing down historic homes and buildings. Support renovation over demolition rebuilding where circumstances permit in order to preserve the old Aiken charm, and demolish dilapidated structure only as a last few resort. Does anybody remember the old Parkview Hotel over here that's now a parking lot? Mm-hmm. It got so dilapidated that it had to be torn down. Mm-hmm. We don't want that to happen to the Hotel Aiken. And if the community really wants them to build a new structure instead of the renovation that they're proposing, they'll do it. It'd be far cheaper for them to demolish this hotel and build a new one than it would be to renovate it. But that's not what they're proposing. They want to stay within the guidelines. They want to preserve the historical preservation of this hotel property. And a lot of what they're asking for is simply to make the old section that's already there, that was built long before then, conform with what they're going to build. If they don't have the 5 feet, the floors, the architecturally, it's just not going to match up. So I urge you to go ahead and pass it. And again, finally, on behalf of, I think I can speak on behalf of Neil and Ramesh and their entire family, how much they appreciate the overwhelming support that they have received tonight and from this entire community. So on behalf of the Shaw family, thank you to all of you. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else?
Over here on the left.
Jenny has had her hair.
Oh,
her
I'm
hair
sorry.
Time.
Who?
Jenny Stoker.
Stoker.
Okay.
You're halfway there.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, Council, men and women, Jim Wittick. 18 Brookline Drive, the other end of Brookline Drive that you're going to hear from tonight. And my concern I have is, do we really need to approve raising all buildings in the Central Business District to a 55-foot height? Or should we have gone with just a zoning variance for the property that needed the change and had valid reasons for the change? That's what zoning variances are all about. So before you vote to do this, I just ask you to reconsider that zoning variance is one way that you can control what's developed within the district. And by setting the height at 50 feet, giving these folks a variance, which you had the opportunity to do, but didn't, and I feel sorry for these guys being stretched out to this point where they are not knowing what is really going to happen. But I think we're maybe going down the wrong path by raising the whole district to 55 feet instead of leaving it at 50 and approving a variance for one property. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Mr. Mayor, I'll ask Tommy Paradise to correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't DRB consider a variance and denied it?
Yes.
BZA.
BZA, excuse me. Yes.
It didn't make sense why they denied it and
overrode them. State law does not allow City Council to override the BZA, unfortunately.
Mr. Mayor.
Jenny.
Jenny Stoker, 331 Kershaw Street, Southeast. I've been to so many of these meetings over the years, and y'all know that I hate to speak at them, but if I'm enough worked up about it, I'll do it. I love history and I love Aiken too, so let me preface with that. And as I began to consider this meeting, I thought I'd like to understand your position, so I emailed each of you to schedule a phone call. But only three of you made any attempt to respond to my request, and I only spoke to Mr. Dewar, who is in Arizona. And a week ago, Charlotte Wiedemann called and asked if four of us could meet with you, Mr. Klim, but we're told you could not meet until after tonight's meeting. One of the things that I would have asked, and maybe y'all can answer for me tonight, is when we had the first reading on this ordinance, why was option two not even discussed? Are you aware of option two? It is the increasing the building height to 55 feet for all properties just within the boundaries of Richland, Lawrence Park, and Newberry Street. Was there some legality involved, or have you just decided not to discuss it?
It was considered, but they decided to go with the 55-foot option for all of downtown. But it was part of the consideration at first reading.
But it didn't even get discussed at that meeting.
The options were discussed. They chose the 55-foot option for all of DB.
Maybe I didn't hear it. But why? I'm wondering why. I guess since I didn't hear it, why was that option dismissed? Does anybody have a simple reason?
I'll tell you what occurred to me. Should you raise the height limit for a single block in the downtown, then you've created an inequitable position for property owners on one side of the road versus the other side of the road. You've added value to one side and almost inherently taking away value from the other side. If somebody, a business owner, were looking to buy a piece of property in downtown, and with one they knew they could build a 25,000 square foot four-story building, and the other one they could only do a 20,000 square foot three-story building, then you've detracted from the value of folks that own the property that doesn't have the higher height limit, and you've added to the value of the property of the folks that does. I'm not a person that feels like I should be choosing economic winners and losers for things, and so it was an inequitable matter of trying to be doing that would have been inequitable, and opposed to doing it for the whole downtown would have been trying to be more fair to all property owners in the district or in the downtown. That was my reasoning.
That pretty well sum it up. That makes sense, I believe. Mr. Klim, you haven't been here very long, but based on our experience with prior city managers, residents have come to expect the city manager to provide complete and objective information, the pros and cons of alternatives, and realistic long-term consequences of both sides of any issue. Your presentation at the last council meeting was jarring, and I don't think it was at all objective. Please remember the city is also made up of people, equestrians and retirees, who enjoy the slow pace of life, and one of them had the nerve to get up and speak tonight. I appreciate what he said. These people may not pay dues and have a chamber to represent them, but they and their friends pay taxes and spend lots of monies in these same shops and restaurants. and they buy expensive real estate. And funnily, a few years ago, the Chamber's big push was to attract retirees, and it worked. A 5 feet increase in the height of the downtown business zone is not the only problem. And if what I say gets a rise out of any of you, perhaps I hit a nerve. In the last several years, to address Aiken's somewhat vague need to attract future economic development opportunities, a myriad of different sales taxes have become the norm, and everybody's scrambling to get a piece of the pie. But projects are selected on the basis of political influence, not necessarily need. We've seen again and again the manipulation of these tax dollars by whichever public, private entity, or city official can think up the next boondoggle. The entire hospitality tax, parking garage, hotel addition was presented this past spring as a fait accompli. The interim city manager, Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Mary, and the Aiken Standard, then the Planning Commission and the Design Review Board, all made it sound as though an approval of 75-foot buildings was a foregone conclusion. It struck me that it may have been a while since some of you read some of the city's planning documents, and maybe some of our audience are not familiar with them either. So I'll quote some of them, as others have done, in regard to this proposed ordinance change. I quote, the Planning Commission is responsible for recommending to City Council policies of how the city should grow and develop, with the primary tool for doing so being the comprehensive plan. The Old Aiken Master Plan, which was adopted by City Council in 2005 as a part of Aiken's comprehensive plan, actually predicted this exact scenario, I think, and I quote, the identity of Old Aiken must not be sacrificed as a result of an inappropriate development or insensitive governmental action. There will be continuing pressures to increase the intensity of land use in Old Aiken, and while some such development will be appropriate, pressures which would compromise its small-town character must be resisted. And when you raise the value of the properties all across this downtown business district, you're actually opening the door to increase intensity of land uses as the values go up. The Old Aiken Master Plan and the Comprehensive Plan used to be quoted every night at council meetings and planning commission meetings when decisions were being made. And now this document, which took 3 years, five subcommittees, and more than 760 representatives from the NAACP, the Chamber of Commerce, the Economic Development Partnership, the Aiken Downtown Development Association, the Land Trust, Historic Aiken, et cetera, you're getting ready to just, with a pen, change one of the exact specifications of that plan.
Ginny, you're running a little late on the clock there.
Oh, my goodness. May I close by saying I looked on the tax records to try to understand who else might want to build a 55-foot building, and I was surprised to see that the city is one of the biggest property owners in the downtown business zone. I've heard convention center, affordable housing, parking garage. If you can't play by the rules, change them. This is a dangerous political move resurfacing that we've not seen in a while, although it was a standard business some years ago. $2 million? Heck, change the ordinance. Is it really necessary for the hotel's plan, or is it necessary to appease the newspaper, the chamber, the bankers, and the developers? Principles are at stake. Don't change the ordinance. And I appreciate you letting me go over a few minutes. Well, thank you.
One quick note, Ginny, just as a reminder, you mentioned that only Dick Dwyer had gotten back to you, or spoken to you. And as you might recall, I'd left a funeral visitation early because we had scheduled a phone call.
I do remember.
And so I made every effort to be able to be accessible to you. I always find your comments, your interest valuable, and I did in no way avoid talking to you. You know, I lived up to my end of that bargain.
Yes, we just weren't able to reschedule, and I'm sorry for that. So,
thank you.
And Jenny, I got back with you, but I wasn't able to get it on my schedule given some emergency.
I know y'all, everybody's very busy. I appreciate that, and Mr. Mayor, if I could just... That's why it's hard to juggle.
If I could just clarify the record, because the truth is important. It was stated that Ms. Wiedemann gave me a call and asked for a meeting. I did change my schedule around, and I did meet with her.
Yes, I appreciate that.
That was the statement.
Yes. We initially, a group of us thought that if we got together, we could meet with you, and that way we could, you know, it's so much easier to hear things firsthand rather than reporting back to a group. So that was our hope, with to have more than one person meet with you, and hopefully in the future we can. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else? Okay.
Katie, I was going to ask you to speak if you weren't going to speak.
Well, I'm not terribly prepared, but I just wanted to respond. I'm Katie Raven. I live at 521 Highland Park Drive. And I wanted to respond to a few things that I heard here at the end. I ducked in late. But a couple things were basically, why does this have to be for all of downtown? Why does this 55 feet have to extend for the entire downtown and not just this one property? The other thing is architecture more important than the height? And I wanted to really just spend my time focusing on those two things just from a design standpoint. I've spent the past 6 to 8 years looking at communities all over the world, all over the country, and studying them. And what I think people like about being in certain places versus other places is really just the feeling that you have when you're walking down the street, when you're enjoying a place, and what your experience is while you're in that place. And so height really doesn't have a lot to do with it in terms of just how tall a building is on its own. It's really the space that that building creates between that building and another building. So Aiken was laid out in a very foresightful manner a long, long time ago, probably about 185 years ago, and we are still very blessed to have that asset. And we had a grid system that was in place that extends for a very long expanse, and we're very lucky to have that grid system. Many towns do not have that that ability to grow their downtown in that much of a distance. And there's a lot of opportunity that Aiken still has to further grow our downtown area. Just because this is one property on one street does not mean that the rest of our downtown doesn't look exactly like that block. Every single block in Aiken is exactly the same dimension. It's 300 by 600 feet. That's a very large block in terms of urban planning. It makes it almost difficult sometimes to walk down the street and see what's going on further down the way, because when you're walking down the street, you like seeing breaks, you like seeing diversification of building types and alleyways and that sort of thing. That's why the alley feels very nice in Aiken. I think everyone can agree. The alley is an enjoyable place to be. It's about to be a more enjoyable place to be. But we have really wide streets. We have about 150 feet between a face of a building to a face of a building that is built up to the sidewalk. And when you're on one side of the street and you're looking across the way, it's hard to see what's going on the other side. And just from a design standpoint, a typical place that's created that feels very good to be in has a building that is a ratio of one unit to the three units of street width. And that's about as wide as you would want a street to be. So if a building is 50 feet tall, and our streets are 150 feet wide, that's about the limit to which you can create a sense of place in that space. So that should be almost a minimum. And Ann mentioned that. I mean, all of our streets are great, and we have a very quaint downtown, but our streets also provide a challenge, especially on our main streets, when you want people to bounce from one side of the street to another. People spend a lot of money to travel all over the world to be in places with buildings that are 100 feet tall and streets that are 12 feet wide. If you can imagine sitting out on a very narrow street in Paris, people buy plane tickets to fly 8 hours on a plane to be in a place, spend $10,000 for a week to be in a place that has very tall buildings and very narrow streets. So I think the challenge that we have is to overcome our wide streets, possibly entertain the idea that buildings can be taller and we can still have sense of place in a quaint downtown, and we are bordering on the side of not being able to create that sense of place because of the challenge of our wide streets. And so I think we have to embrace the asset, but we also have to think about it from a very specific and not arbitrary planning standpoint in why places feel very good to be in and how we can create Aiken to be a very enjoyable place to sit out, to walk down. People want to live here. And I think the whole conversation about affordable housing, too, I've come to hear that that's a very negative thing. And I think that's unfortunate because I think the word affordability has a very
negative.
There's a stigma attached to affordability. But affordability is what our police officers can afford and our teachers can afford. And those are the people we want in our downtown. And if we can offer them a place to enjoy our streets, to walk around with their children, and to feel safe in our downtown where our streets are wide, street trees allow that. Tall buildings allow that. Whether that seems reasonable or not, it's there's actual science behind that. And so, anyways, we'll close there, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kate.
Mr. Mayor, Katie. I know Katie's gone a little bit over. I just wanted to state, just Katie, if you will, can you tell us what you're doing right now so that our folks will know what you're involved with? It won't take long, Mr. Mayor, please.
It might take long. She's got a lot to
share. I know, but just a few sentences, please.
Okay. Well, most recently, I'm founded a new company called it's called SUDA Development. It stands for Sustainable Urban Development Associates, and I've started that company really as a consulting company, but also as a private development company. And so, right now, I do have private developers that I consult for. One of which I've previously worked for full time, which many of you might know is Hammonds Ferry in North Augusta, which was designed on the principles of old town development, towns and cities that were built 100 years ago. We've employed those principles there. More recently, I'm involved a lot more heavily in the Graniteville District revitalization, which is about 1 million square feet of mill properties in Graniteville. And what we're trying to do there is bring jobs back to Graniteville, create sense of place, similar to what we've been talking about now, creating connectivity and walkability and friendly streets that will then attract people to want to live there. I've also developed the Millon Park, which is a office community, which is really focused on providing space for small businesses, startups or existing businesses that want to have reduced overhead and share some of their common areas. Renovated a couple small storefronts in downtown, and now have plans for a small pocket neighborhood of sorts. And it's will be about three blocks from Main Street, and it will provide what I like to call workforce housing, not affordable housing, but it's very much market rate housing. I think downtown's challenge is that we either have very expensive housing or very inexpensive housing, which there's a gap that's missing, that's not being provided for. So the idea is that we can create cottages that look like they've been here 100 years and provide them at a rate that the school teachers, the police officers, the young professionals can afford and really enjoy to live downtown again. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Okay, how about one more. Anybody?
Margaret's been raising her hand for a while.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm Margaret Marion, 118 Aberdeen Drive in Aiken. I grew up in Greenville, South Carolina, and I really would rather be in Aiken. I've loved it here, and I'm glad that there's so many people here that I love Aiken. I do oppose the height increase. I've enjoyed the feel of downtown Aiken. I think the old Aiken master plan speaks to that well. And other people have spoke to that point. About the 30-inch thing, I'm sorry that that came about. It's created a lot of misunderstanding about what is being proposed, because it's not 30 inches. It's 30 inches plus probably the building is a foot lower than that in height visually, plus the parapet on the addition. So if you look at it just from a visual point of view, how most people measure building height, it's more than 30 inches. If you look at it from the standpoint of the zoning ordinance definition of building heights, you're probably looking at 7 to 8 feet. I know that many here would rather the buildings be much taller than that, but I see an increase in height as causing more cars to be downtown. We don't have effective public transportation like Paris or a lot of these cities that can carry taller buildings. We don't have it. It's not likely to work in the near future. And parking structures take up a great deal of space. You're going to have to sacrifice some of your small businesses for parking structures, probably, if you take that route of going higher. So I ask you to reconsider the trend that I'm seeing of going higher. I see the big picture as it being problematic. Please consider leaving it the way it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Back to council for consideration. Any comments?
I can start.
Go ahead.
That's fine. Spirit, I've listened very intensely to all of the comments, and certainly on both sides of the aisle, there are valid concerns. I'm at a point where I'm trying to understand why we can't understand, if I can use those words, double in a sentence, that we can preserve our character in our town and still grow. And we've seen examples of it time and time again in other places, but also in Aiken. When you look at where we were in the late 80s and where we are now, we've grown, and it has not destroyed our character. We've changed the complexion of what downtown looked like in the 80s versus what it is right now. And I'm looking forward to that vitality that's been expressed by so many. Bike pathways that leads to downtown, the excitement that comes, young people. And I've seen recently more young people on our streets, and we want to see more. And they're all crying out for this this vitality, this energy that they want, because they want to remain in Aiken. And, Mr. Mayor, given what I have heard from both sides, I am going to have to support the height increase. It is the best way for the best direction for Aiken, in addition to the revenue that it will bring to our town. It helps our businesses. You can employ more people. There are all kinds of benefits, and we've heard the economic impact of this. But again, I'm stating to the fact that we can preserve the character, still grow, and everybody can be happy with this decision tonight.
And I will take the ball from Leslie because I agree with what she said, but I'd add a few more points. I spent 12 years on the design review board, 8 of those years as chairman, and I was there as we established, drafted, and adopted the downtown, the guidelines for the downtown overlay. I've grown up in this town. I've spent nearly 50 years in this town, and almost every bit of it has been in the historic district and right here in downtown. My office has been downtown. I delivered newspapers to nearly every business in the downtown district in 7th and 8th grade. You know, this is this is what I'm all about. But I want to echo some remarks that I heard from a lot of people. For really almost probably 16, 17 years now, I've studied a great deal about urban planning, about creating a sense of place. I subscribe to I'm a member of a group called Placemakers. And what Katie Raven is telling us is very, very true. There's certain elements of proportion and proximities that create the fundamentals of a space that feels right. Those are some bit art, some bit science, but those are fairly well documented principles and proportions that most architects, I'm sure Mr. Windsor is very familiar with them, and others, most architects will acknowledge. And those are real. And as Katie alluded to, with the space that we have in our right of way and our street widths, our buildings will not overwhelm those streets, will not overwhelm the streetscape, and it will not offset the sense of place that we might already have. I think the greater risk is building buildings that might be incompatible or grossly incompatible. And compatibility, I figured out in my time on Design Review Board, is almost a matter of taste. It's the beauty in the eye of the beholder type perspective. You know, what one person sees as compatible, another person might not. In a simple tour of downtown just today, in a four-block area, Lawrence Street, Richland Avenue, and the north side of Park Avenue, I found 24 or 25 buildings that could be construed as not compatible, not having the Aiken look. However, when we all talk about what we love about the charm and character of downtown, we don't think about those buildings. Some of them didn't start out that way. They've been renovated to look the way they do. The Wells Fargo Bank building, the Aiken Drug, there's a whole slew of them. I shouldn't name off any. So I'll just say there's 24 or 25 that one person might find incompatible, others might find incompatible. So architecture can make a bigger difference in determining the relative charm or character of the downtown than height can. There's also the element of comparing the height of one building to a building next to it. If that would be damaging or dangerous or hurt our downtown, the 25-foot height change when you go from the building that's next door to the Maybaum building, I can't think of the name of that business right now, but there's about 25 feet of height difference from one building to the other. In this case, we're only talking about maybe 5 feet. As Ms. Marion mentioned, it could be different with the parapet wall, but nevertheless, there's not going to be a tremendous height difference from one building to another. So with good architecture, with appropriate proportion relative to the space that we have, with good planning and approach to it, you know, work by the DRB and all that, I don't think that changing the height is the thing that will ultimately negatively impact the charm or the character in downtown. Especially, I mean, maybe if we were doing a 200-foot tall building, maybe, but probably. But going 5 feet isn't going to do it. So I too will end up supporting this tonight, and I don't think it conflicts in any way with the work that we did on the Design Review Board for those years that I was there.
And I also support it. I think that we should do like Mr. Brinkley suggested. Let's take this 30-inch step toward Aiken's future and approve this height increase.
Reggie? Enough said.
Enough said.
Now I said enough said.
Mr. Mayor.
Very good. Very good.
Well said.
You know, you talk to people that have moved to Aiken and over the years, I first moved here 63 years ago with my family. I was in high school. And I, I just sit here thinking, and I've thought about it a lot of times, when DuPont came in, and we were some of the first, my family, what did all the folks think, for a while at least, of what's happening to their community? They were probably really happy where they were. But I think as time went on, they became happier because they could work in, the wages were higher, and all those kinds of things. And one thing for sure, we never want to get back to the place that Aiken was in the 80s. That was a terrible place. I mean, people rallied around, everybody came together. I mentioned Wade and his group and all the many groups. The state helped out. We had contributions from the site at the time, and all that's history, and it could be looked at. But we never want to get that way. I'm going to certainly support this because I think it's the right thing to do, and we've got to move ahead. I keep visualizing that for a number of months or years, the hotel just sitting there and thinking, suppose nobody does anything. Suppose the Shahs don't do anything, and suppose we don't help them in some way coming together as a community. That could sit there for a long, long time and just decay. And so we don't want that. So for the reasons that have been said here, and I really appreciate everybody's comment. We've tried to let everybody speak, and I think we've done that over and over again several times. So I just thank you all for being here and supporting those who have supported it, and I appreciate those who don't. I understand some of those views, certainly. But I am going to support it as well. So therefore, do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor,
for approval?
I move that we unanimously approve the recommendation of a change in the height in the downtown business district from 50 feet to 55 feet.
I second.
Okay. Any discussion?
We just did that.
Any discussion? No. Okay, show of hands, all in favor. Passes unanimously. Okay. Thank everyone for being here this evening.